Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It's 11 o'clock at night, Eastern Standard Time. In L.A., I know it's different. Other places, it's different. But we're all here. It's Friday night. Yeah, okay. I've got a lot of things to talk about tonight with my friend, fellow writer. I love this woman, but don't tell her that. It'll go right to her head.
No, don't tell her that.
I've known her for so long. It's like, oh, my God. And when I hear her do a new project, it's like she changes like a chameleon. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Every time you think she's going to go left, she goes right. And she does so much good writing. And I've read her writing. I don't have to tell her, I read your writing. No, she knows I read it. And if you look on the book, Don't Call Me Baby, the audio world quote is mine. So, yeah, I've read it once or twice. The talented, and I do say this without being funny or loose or glib, the talented Elizabeth Black. Good evening, madam.
Good evening. We have known each other forever. Yeah, we've known each other before Bill Clinton knew Monica Lewinsky. That's a long time ago.
Let's not get into politics and say we didn't. No. Because I'm not going to ask you, is Kathy Griffin right or wrong? And I don't want to hear it. it's not my business. I mean,
I don't care.
I don't either. But the thing is, I have gotten that question. I did an interview about yesterday, and somebody asked me, they said, so do you think Kathy Griffin was right? I said, it's not my call. But you're in the business. I said, yes, but it's not my call. I'm not trying to preach. What I think in my own private time is my business. And I don't need to subject my guests because this is like my home.
Yep.
And you don't
get
any guests. No, when somebody comes on the show, any show I do as a host, this is like, come on in my house, open the door, here's a bottle of booze, enjoy. Yeah.
I keep politics off of my Facebook page because it just doesn't belong there. It's too divisive. So I'm like, leave it elsewhere. Let other people talk about it. I consider it my home, and it doesn't belong in my home. Not on my Facebook page.
I will say this, and I'm not gonna dwell on this. People ask me, well, why are you talking about your medical problems to me? And I said, well, instead of calling 300 people, I take one or two posts on Facebook and everybody knows. And if they don't know, they share it with their friend. And, oh, yeah, did you hear what he does? And I don't have to worry about it. It's like telephone, telegraph, telefacebook, you know, just, everybody knows. Suddenly, I don't have to make, as I said, 300 phone calls. It's lovely, great, and not have to make all the phone calls. And, you know, you figure it this way, 20 minutes times 300 is 6,000 minutes. That'll mean I'll be doing it for the next 2 or 3 days. Facebook, I can write a 20-minute post and thank everybody because it, you know, but I don't want to get into my health right now. I will say this, I've said this in Facebook in the post. I will be taking off on the June 14th and the week of the June 12th, 14th, 16th. I will say this, and I'm going to say this because Jean Jo Kim and Jennifer Chase were going to be my guests that week. And I'm sorry, ladies, and they already know this. I'm sorry that we're not going to do shows that week for some reason. And I want you guys on as soon as possible. So now I've already said that, and everything's fine and hunky and dory and the rest of the thing. You know, I'm not getting into detail about what's going on or anything else. But Gene and Jennifer, I promise you're going to be on. Trust me. I mean, I always have this one on, and I love her. Jennifer Chase is a lovely writer in California. Happily married. She and I have a love of SpongeBob SquarePants. Yes, we have love of SpongeBob SquarePants. And my mission is to try to find her SpongeBob SquarePants in her size. Now, she's not a... And so, yes, that's my new task. I've been scouring eBay for her, and I love her dearly. And I have other friends who are fashionistas scouring eBay and scouring websites for SpongeBob SquarePants for adults, not for kids. She will not fit in the Eager Animals, but people have suggested it. Thank you. She's a beautiful lady. I'm trying to find a nicer way. She's, as most women are, zoptic in the chest area. Is that good enough?
I see. Yes, that gets the point across.
But she's wonderful and she is a talented writer. And if you haven't had a chance to talk to her, she is great. And I wanted to make sure they did know Elizabeth Black is a great writer. And I'm not saying it to just wave it around or to say it. But I get impressed with, as I said, she zigs one day and she zags the next. And she blows me away every time she does a change. But this is from Jody. She says, as a writer, what was the last time you paid it forward as a writer?
Oh, boy, I pay it forward pretty often. There's one writer, she's kind of new, and she's on Facebook, and I write to her personally, just the two of us, and, you know, I'll give some, you know, general advice. I don't want to be too specific because everybody's a little different. But you know, I've guided her on her way, and as far as I know, she's doing pretty well.
And you haven't introduced her to me? I'm upset.
No. I don't even think she's had anything published yet. She's that green, so I keep her to myself right now. But she's one of my newer friends on Facebook. But you know, anytime anybody has questions, I always try to answer. I do the best that I can. You know, if anybody needs help with anything, or maybe somebody is looking for a new publisher, and you know, I'll come up with anybody that I possibly can think of, you know, that sort of thing. But I mean, I try to do little things all the time to help anybody.
I remember a young Elizabeth Black, and I'm not going to say how long ago this was in my home. Yes, she does know where I lived at that time. I moved since, but that's okay. She has the phoning address too. Okay. But was in my home and was saying, I want to do what you do. And then about 3 months later, she started working for Sojourner magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the feminist magazine. Yeah, I was writing one.
But the thing is that it was like, I always remembered this lady was in my home going, I want to do what you do.
Yeah, I wanted to write. And at the time,
and
I was
she
into,
and believe me, ladies and gentlemen, she does.
Well, at that time, I was into politics and feminism, and I did a lot of work in that field. And then I moved into fiction, which is it's much less stressful. that's all I'll say about it.
Okay.
It's much less stressful than writing that kind of stuff. That's all I'm going to say about it.
What's your proudest moment?
Writing fiction. My proudest moment. Sorry. Oh,
as a writer.
As a writer, I'd have to say the first time I had a story published, which took me completely by surprise because I forgot that I submitted it. So it was for Scarlet Magazine, which was a it was a women's. It's a women's magazine. It was from the UK. It's no longer in circulation, but I found out about it online and I was reading it. It's kind of like Cosmopolitan, but a bit edgier. And it reminded me a lot of Cosmo, but it had fiction and, you know, advice and all that kind of stuff. And it was a very good magazine. And they were looking for short fiction. So I thought, oh, I have an idea. I wanted to write this erotic retelling of Cinderella, like what happens after she marries the handsome prince and things aren't going well. So I wrote this story up and I submitted it to them. And this is back when you had to send things. And, you know, I sent it an email. And a few months later, I heard from them and they accepted the story. And for a minute there, I forgot what the story was because it was so long ago. And it just took so long for them to get back to me. It got published, and it was my very first published work. And it blew me away that I'm like, wow, I'm a published author now. I mean, a fiction author. I mean, I'd already written plenty of nonfiction articles, and I was well known in that field.
Do you remember when you came up to me at another convention right after you did that?
No. What did I do?
You came up to me and I took my finger on my right hand and went, no flies on you.
I do remember that. Yeah, I do. I do remember that.
I said, no flies on you. Oh, yeah. And I hugged you. And your husband was there and Buddy was around. I don't know if he was there at that moment, but it was like, yeah. And Bill looks at me and says, that's my wife. I said, yeah. Excuse me. Go away.
Well,
he said, okay.
This is back before, PayPal. So they had to send me a check. And it was in British pound sterling, so I had to have it converted into American dollars. So I would take it to the bank, and they would take it to the Fed, and then they would take their chunk of change out of it, which is like $40 out of a $200 check. You know, because I was, you know, that's how much I was being paid, about $200 a story. And it's like it took a month for this stuff to clear, and then finally they got into PayPal, and it takes out much less money. It goes in practically overnight. And I just remember those old days when I would get these checks, and it's like, oh, I'll see the money in about 60 days. It was just, whoa. Because the first time I was paid for any of this, it wasn't even in American dollars.
Oh, I remember those days, too. I had Scarlet. I had Scarlet Street Magazine. That was, there were two of them. The one that was British, I know. It was such a long time before you got paid.
Yeah, Scarlet was British, and Scarlet Street was the movie magazine.
Scarlet Street was more of the noir magazine,
like,
yes. And I wrote
their
audio column for about 6 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember, but that Scarlet, I remember writing some reviews for them, and it took 6 months for me to get paid. I remember those days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me talk about your writing career. I mean, you've written a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And being your friend, I can say this. You've written a lot of stuff. But one of your best books, and people, I still tell people how wonderful it is. What inspired you to write Don't Call Me Baby?
By the way, that's
Ellen, so I want to make sure.
Okay.
Hey, you give credit where credit is due. That's from Ellen. What inspired you to write Don't Call Me Baby?
Part of it is fiction, and part of it is based on my own time in college. And the two professors that are in the story are based on people that I had been seeing at the time. And the third character, the man that Catherine Stone meets later in the doctor that she meets later in the book is completely fictional. And, you know, he's made up. But
and I
and
no offense,
dated,
I thought it was based on your current husband. He was that good.
No, he's a different guy. I meet somebody else. I have written some stories based on my husband, you know, like Longing in particular. Yeah, that one was based on, that's a short story that I based on my husband.
I'm waiting to write one about me. Okay, I'm waiting. Okay.
Haven't gotten that one yet.
Yeah, I'm waiting. Hurry up.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you, me, and Count Gore Duval. Yeah, okay. Let's talk about right now. You write many things, but you're in your horror genre. I know because of the collections you're in now. Most of them are either gothic or horror or whatever. What do you like about the horror genre?
I just like being scared. I mean, it's like riding a roller coaster. You're scared the whole time, but you're safe. And there's something cathartic about horror. That's, I mean, I come from a very varied background, and horror was the one thing that I mean, I just really like being excited about it. And I've liked horror since I can remember. I mean, ever since I was a little kid, and I'd be up at 2 o'clock in the morning watching Count Gore Duvall on television when he has these old schlock movies that he would be showing. And
hey, don't cut down my livelihood.
Hey,
Universal's Frankenstein.
I was brought up on those movies. I love those movies.
I still own those. I love Count. Please don't get me wrong. Dick, we love you. Okay. If he listens, okay. But all kidding aside, Dick, by the way, is Dick Dizel, who is Captain 20, Count Gore Duvall, and everything else. He still has a show called Creature Feature online, and if you haven't looked him up, look him up, and I'm giving him a shameless plug. Go watch old movies or whatever. He has a lovely store. He was the original Sven Gulli before Sven Gulli. He is a horror movie host that I introduced him once in the Greenbelt Festival and was blown away because he just said, go ahead. And I did it, and I love the man. He's a wonderful man. His wife is a lovely lady also, but that's beside the point.
I've seen other horror movie hosts, and they pale compared to Dick. I mean, Count Gore Duvall he's the best.
He's always
been my ultimate favorite.
Now, let me ask you, this is from Brett. What's your favorite horror movies? Now, I'm going to throw a little addition to it. Top five favorite horror movies.
Oh, boy. My favorite horror movie is Peter Jackson's Dead Alive. Mainly because when I first met my husband, he's my husband now, but when I first met him, I told him, you've got to sit down and watch this movie with me. And if you cannot make it through it, we are not meant to be together. And he absolutely loved it. And we'll joke around even now saying things like, Zingaya, he's got the bite. And, we're always looking around for the Sumatran rat monkey. But
This is the same Peter Jackson that did Lord of the Rings and King Kong and all the other ones.
Well, the only reason that I went to see Lord of the Rings was because I liked the director. I didn't care about the Lord of the Rings. I liked Peter Jackson. And then when I heard that, I told Bill, we're going to go see this because we like Dead Alive. But the another four, I would have to say the original The Haunting. With Julie Harris and Claire Bloom. And The Legend of Hell House with Roddy McDowall.
Thank you very much.
Anything with Roddy McDowall. There's so many.
I know.
The Changeling with George C. Scott. And we get into some of the Shaun of the Dead. We get into something funny. I like Shaun of the Dead. And another. There's so many.
You don't like the Day After, the Asian ones. You don't like The Day After, where they go bar hopping at the end of the world?
that one.
World's End.
Okay. I don't do much with the World's End movies because they all tend to be the same. The world always ends. It's just. I can't think of a last one. There's one that I just watched. What was it? I don't remember the name of it. I just saw it too. I'm drawing a blank on it. Oh man, I can't think of the name. Anyway, it was it's a haunted house movie, and it was about a woman that goes to a boys' school because she's a skeptic, and she does it's set right after World War One, and she goes to the school to investigate a haunting there because she's just convinced that all the stuff is fake. And it turns out that, of course, it's not fake, but it's not what you think it is. And when you find out what her relationship is to this house, you know, to where the school, it used to be a house. And when you find out when I found out what the relationship was between her and that house, I was in tears. And then I remembered I'd seen the movie before. And if only I could remember the name of it. Oh, I'm drawing a blank. But
believe me, it happened.
That's a description.
Okay. This is from Judy. Judy
the
said,
Awakening.
How did
That's,
you...
It's called The Awakening. I highly recommend you see it, The Awakening.
You'll send me
a
copy
a
for... Film. You'll send me a copy for St. Swithin's Day, right?
If I can find a copy of it, yeah. I mean, I saw it streaming, so, yeah.
Cinema, DVD cinema.
Mm-hmm.
I go to some of the sources, and they're like, how did you get that? DVD cinema or cinema. Some of these websites that I don't know if it's a legal copy or not, I don't care. I'm not suggesting you... bootleg, I'm not suggesting that. But some of these movies are, you know, if you don't catch it streaming and somebody offers you a, I'm not trying to, as I said, encourage bootlegging, but if somebody offers you a copy or you have a copy cheap for like 5, 10, 15 bucks, buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I like all the
Asian horror films, and I caught on to those about the time The Ring caught on, but before they were catching on in America. And the only place I could find them was on eBay, and I had to check the region, because a lot of these were only in Region 3, and they won't play on American DVD players. And they'll play anything.
But nowadays you can buy Universal DVD and get away with it.
Yeah. At this time, I didn't have one, but I did find them on eBay, and I was just buying these movies right and left, and I just got absolutely hooked on them. I mean, I have The Ring 2, The Ring 3, I have Quatermass, the TV series, which is wonderful.
You're making me cry, you realize. You're making me cry.
Yeah. Oh, another favorite is Quatermass.
I like William Smith in The Bee Girls. Oh my God! I mean,
Invasion of the Bee Girls. Oh, that movie.
Oh,
is so much
Attack
fun.
Of the Bee Girls or Invasion of the Bee Girls?
Yeah, Invasion
of
the Bee Girls.
They have like three different titles for the same movie.
Mhm.
With William
That's
Smith
a rather rich
from
movie for the time too.
Oh, I know. And these girls had it looked like plaster. It was they were building a cocoon, but they had plaster of Paris or whatever. White gook on them, and it was they were naked underneath that, and one or two when they busted out of their cocoon, they had lovely bodies.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and you had a piece. It was like instead of pasties, they had a piece of plaster of Paris on each breast, and they were butt naked. You know, you didn't see anything in the front, but you could see their pazubas in the back. And, you know, as I kept it clean, but it was like, okay.
I can't let horror movies go by without mentioning Hammer Films. My favorite actor is Peter Cushing. And anything that he does, I will watch. I mean, the man
I'm sorry.
Fantastic.
I agree, Hammer. But, you know, Christopher Lee.
Oh, Christopher Lee. Yeah, the two of those together.
Yeah, I love Peter Cushing.
They were best friends.
Oh, I know.
They used to watch Warner Brothers cartoons together. And one time they were making so much noise in the movie theater that one of the ushers threw them out. But the usher didn't know who they were. And, you know, Christopher Lee, he's told the story over and over again how they got thrown out of a movie theater for making too much noise, laughing too loud, and just generally chattering too much.
Peter Cushing
and Christopher Lee getting thrown out of a movie theater.
Well, Vincent Price and Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee and Desi Arnaz did a movie called House of the Long Shadows.
Yes.
Oh,
I saw that a
God.
Long time ago. Oh.
And I'm and of course
like,
Vincent Price did the Monster Club.
So mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I just wish they would have some of these movies still on DVD. That's where you got to find them on eBay or on websites because they, you know, and if they're, I'm not encouraging bootlegging, so please don't say, Bennett told me to get it. No. If you can find it on a good site, buy it. It's well worth it.
You might be able to find it on Amazon.
No,
Amazon
sent you to the bootleg sites.
Oh.
But let me get to Judy's question before. Judy
okay.
just messaged me and says, you've mentioned my name 3 times. Why haven't you got to my question yet? You are a lovely and talented radio host. I know you've done some radio work for me and other people. How did you invent the show Into the Abyss?
Well, I was already doing some shows with Marcia Casper Cook because I was her co-host, and I was your guest several times. And you know, I kind of got used to the whole routine of doing the podcast. And then you had me on. You know, you invited me to do the women's show. So that's
yes,
where
I did.
I pretty much cut. I cut my teeth on the women's show, and I cut my teeth with Marcia Casper Cook. And
I hope it wasn't
painful you know,
when
you
cut
you
your teeth.
No, it was fine, but the two of you are, you know, really responsible for me getting into this and really getting it going. And I was trying to, I wanted to have my own show, and I couldn't come up with a name. And I thought, Nietzsche, that's perfect for anything related to horror. And I could also toss in some romance every once in a while, since I also write erotica and romance. So that's where Into the Abyss comes from, because it refers to Nietzsche. That's where the title came from, and. My first, I can't remember who my first guest was. It might have been, I don't remember.
I was the third. I know. You told me I was the third.
Yes, I think so.
Yes, I
no,
know.
No, you
told.
Yeah, you were one of my. Yeah, you're up there. I mean,
I was number three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're number three, we try harder. Okay. okay. This is from Diane. And she says, what do you love about being on the radio?
I like talking to the guests and just hearing what they have to say, especially if I'm already a fan of them. And I try not to gush. I mean, when I had Joe Lansdale on twice, I really tried hard not to gush. Because I'm a huge fan of his Happen Leonard books. And I mean, that's why I wanted to get him on the show in the first place. Because I've had him on twice already. And, I mean, like, I'm a fan of The Blacklist. And, you know, I met Dan Knopf at the Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat. That's where I found a lot of my guests. And I just, you know, it was a very informal retreat. He can just walk up to people and talk to them. So I asked him, would you like to be on my show? And he said, yeah, sure. And when I ran into Jack Ketchum, who wrote The Girl Next Door, and I highly recommend you read that book because it's one of the most harrowing reads that I've ever run into. And he was there, you know, being very quiet, and I was nervous because I'd already read the book and I wanted him to be on the show so badly. And I just walked up and went, Mr. Ketchum, would you like to be on my radio show? And he said, yeah, sure. And it was that easy. So then, and he was, I mean, those two were two of my best guests. Joe Lansdale was always a good guest. And I know Trent Zelazny. He's a close friend of mine. And I've had him on the show several times.
Trent, come on my show. Come on. Bring your wife if you want. I love Trent. I do.
Yeah, Trent's fantastic.
Bring your wife, too, if you want. I love your wife. Your wife is a very opinionated lady.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she is.
Go ahead.
She's cool. But Trent has a story out now in Borderlands 6. So I highly recommend you find that. I haven't read it yet, but I know that it's out there. And I believe it was nominated for a Stoker Award. It either made the short
list
or it was nominated. But it's a good book. Just, you know, I just know it is. I'm going to have to go get it and read it, but I already heard so many good things about it. And Trent has a story in it, so go and get it.
Okay, John, it's spelled J-O-N. Want to make sure I spell it right here. Yeah, this
mm-hmm.
is radio, and I got to spell his name. Okay. How do you prep for a radio show?
Oh boy, that's
Are you asking me or her or both?
No. couple of weeks to prep. The first thing I do is I find my guest, and if I try to make time to read at least one of their books, or at the very least a short story or two, if I can't pull myself together to read an entire book. And then I will search for as much as I can about them online, like interviews, podcasts where they've been interviewed, and then I read through all of this just to familiarize myself with my guest. And then I write up a list of about 30 to 40 questions. I can never get through all of them. I just use that as a guide. So, you know, I'll have – so that, you know, important things that I want to bring up that I don't want to forget. And it also keeps me from having any dead time during the show.
I'll give you a piece of advice. You get a website now, and you tell such and such a guest is going to come. Ask them anything you want. Now, of course, as a good host, you learn to also be a good editor, because if you're not a good editor, you don't want to ask, oh, what did you – no. You know, but you ask a question, and they go, wow, they asked my question, or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you don't have to worry about, oh, my God. No, it's there. And that way they can't say, Bennett, you screwed up. I said, no, I didn't. It wasn't my question. Okay.
I definitely could put something up on my website that's strictly about my podcast. That's no problem.
Yeah,
book
them ahead and let them ask.
With it.
Let them ask you questions, and that way, like I'm doing right now, I'm going through the list of people's questions that I didn't ask.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can always make a comment or something, and so could you. But that way, I don't have to what you thank the person for writing it, and you say yeah. And usually they give. This is not like Shadowhunter 2020. You know, you usually it says first name. So like Ellen wrote. This is another Ellen, because we already had one Ellen. Do you have any pre-show rituals you do before a show?
Yes. I crack open a bottle of champagne, and I sip it while I'm doing the show.
Serious?
I do the same thing after I finish writing a story or a novel. I crack open a bottle of champagne and share that with my husband. Like right now, I'm not sipping it right now because I'm talking, but I have a bottle of champagne open, and that's my ritual. I like to have some
and
champagne.
And I wasn't even offered a glass. I mean, really, I wasn't even offered a glass. Just bring the husky over with the little barrel attached.
Oh, good hard cider, yeah.
Oh, hard cider would be good. It would be wonderful. I would love it. Let me do a quick bit of homework, because if not, people will get mad at me, and you know this. I do my homework all the time, because if not, people will not be happy. On Monday, the 5th of June, the Legal Show will be back on board, and Sarah and I will be working our darndest. We have a lovely case we'll be discussing on the 5th of June at 6:30 p.m. On the 7th, Michelle Paisley Reed will be here discussing her new book, and that is Wednesday the 7th at 6:30 p.m. And on the 9th, in this hot seat next week, Hidden Mickey's David Smith will be discussing Disney and Disney products and Disney ideas and everything else. And Hidden Mickey is a great book series. There are four of them, and it's wonderful. The following week, from the 12th through the 16th, I will be off. I don't have to tell you where I'm going, but I will be off. If I have to, I'll have Elizabeth Black substitute for me. No, I'll keep aside. I will tell you this. On the 21st, I'm planning on having Lindsay Downs sitting in the hot seat next week on the 2 weeks from now, on the 21st on Let's Talk. And on the 23rd, Robin Peterman will be talking about her Kindle World on the 23rd. And on the 30th, to round up the month, Nina Farrell will be back discussing her new erotica collection. So it will be an interesting time, folks. It will be really, really good. Now, so we all have, okay, I will tell you this, guys. On July 14th through the 16th, I will be at my, dare I say it, 40th High School reunion. So there will not be a show the following Monday, and there will not be an Anything Goes in July. So not whole July, just the 14th. So yeah, I'll be playing Graduate. 40 years later, I'm playing Graduate. I'm feeling old now. Okay. Yeah, save me a sip of champagne, will you? Tell them what's out now so they can find you. Tell them also how they can get a hold of you if they want to send you an email or whatever.
Okay, the easiest way to get hold of me is on Facebook. I'm Elizabeth A. Black on Facebook. Just look for Elizabeth Black. You'll find me. I'm very easy to find. And friend me first, because otherwise I probably won't get your message. But then you can just message me on Facebook, you know, if you just want to talk. It's, you know, I could just chat away. No problem with that. And otherwise, my website is I'm on Blogspot. ElizabethAblack.blogspot.com. I'm also on Twitter as Elizabeth A. Black, but I don't hang out on Twitter all that much. So, you'll catch what I write there. It's pretty much the same thing that I write on Facebook for the most part. But if you want to find me,
I think Twitter's for the birds, but that's me.
Oh, I know you. Somebody had to say that eventually. But my book.
Well,
is
it had
now.
To be me. I mean, let's be honest. It had to be me.
You had to say it. Somebody had to say it. But my books that are out now, I have one. Well, they're both romances, but one of them is more of a medical thriller than anything. And that would be No Restraint is my contemporary erotic romance novel. And that one is available at Amazon. It has the same title as No Restraint is just its own title. The other one is Ruffian It, which has the same title as A Story by Mark Twain. Do not confuse the two. They are not alike at all. Ruffian It is kind of a cross between The X-Files, The Andromeda Strain, and Outbreak. So if you like that kind of stuff, you're going to love this story. And it started out as X-Files fan fiction, and then I changed the characters to two men who are biologists who are searching. They're looking into a very strange disease outbreak at a camp where the disease kind of ramps up your sexuality and turns you violent. And they're investigating it, and they're afraid that they might end up contracting the disease themselves. And when you listen to their dialogue, you'll hear a lot of Mulder and Scully in them, because they were originally Mulder and Scully, and then I changed them into, you know, two completely different characters.
Talking about Mulder and Scully, there's a new X-Files it's an old X-Files or a new X-Files, what do you want to call it? The miniseries was on the six-episode miniseries.
Yeah. The six episodes.
And they're going to make a second season coming up.
It's coming out. They're
bringing back Will and Grace. They're doing a new MacGyver. There's eight seasons of Hawaii Five-0.
MacGyver's out now already, isn't it?
MacGyver,
I
know.
Already out?
Yeah, I'm just trying to frame it here. What show other than Firefly? Please don't give me Firefly. Not that I don't like it. It's just everybody. That's what everybody asks, answers. So other than Firefly, do you have a show you want to bring back? And please don't say The $6 Million Man.
No. You know what I want to bring back?
What?
Farscape. Farscape. It was different. I mean, I like the chemistry between all the characters. Crichton was a fool, but he was a likable fool. And it was Australian. that's the main thing. It was just so different that I really enjoyed it. But as far as like any other show, I mean, Doctor Who is out now, so you don't have to bring that back.
And that was doing pretty
well.
It's dying slowly, but that's okay. That's me and my opinion.
I like Peter Capaldi, though. I think it was...
He's leaving after this season, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know who the new guy is. I don't know anything about him, but I know who the new guy is. But I really like Peter Capaldi, and I wish he wasn't leaving. I really like him a lot. And I like
is there
him,
any,
I like,
anything?
I like
okay,
any partner.
You get
and
to be.
You,
I know you like her. I don't like her as much. But who? What other series would you bring back or bring?
Oh. It's a shame they couldn't get the original actor because he's dead. But I would love to see more of Kolchak the Night Stalker.
Darren
if they could
McGavin.
Do it as Darren McGavin. Oh,
well,
they did.
Yeah,
Kolchak
well, I know, but they
it
redid
failed.
It called the Night Stalker in the 90s, and it lasted 6 weeks. It died so quick. It had Peterman.
It lasted too long. I couldn't stand it. I was just
six
so
weeks,
hard.
And it was dead. Is there anything else you'd want, you know, you get to play network programmer for a minute.
Yeah.
And please don't
well,
say
pretty...
Walker, Texas Ranger. It lasted too long.
No. I never saw that one. Actually, one that I want them to bring back, they are bringing back, and I'm really excited about it, Star Trek. We have Michelle Yeoh, who's going to be playing the captain, and there's Jason Isaacs, who has a part in it. He's playing, I don't know if the character is human or other than human, but Jason Isaacs is one of my favorite actors. And I first heard about the remake, you know, the newest Star Trek, when
Discovery
I was reading about him.
About.
Star Trek Discovery. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And I don't care what the naysayers have to say about it. I mean, they're getting the same complaints that Wonder Woman is getting, that it's not diverse. It's too diverse, that there aren't enough white people in it. I'm like, come on. You know,
let me ask you a question. What show shouldn't they have brought back?
I got to think about this one.
And I do mean, you can say The Bionic Woman, believe me, the sequel, the remake.
What shouldn't they have brought back? Oh, they shouldn't have brought, I might get some hate mail for this one. They shouldn't have brought back, with the new cast, after they killed off Abby, they should not have brought back Sleepy Hollow. They should have let it die. It's canceled now. I know that, but it is definitely canceled, but it did not need to have this last season without Abby. They shouldn't have killed her off. That was a huge mistake.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Diana, sorry, I'm being corrected here. Diana asked, what do you think of Scorpion?
Oh, I love Scorpion. It is such a guilty pleasure. I mean, that first episode, when they jump the shark on the first episode. They jump the shark every week. The only thing I don't like about it was they're making Walter, and for a while there, he was getting to be a little too unlikable because they had that rivalry going with him and the other guy that's not on the show anymore, you know, between him and Paige. And I'm like, go back to the plot of the week. You know, the mystery of the week kind of thing, and get this subplot out of there because it was really dragging the show down, and it was making Walter. I was starting to not like him. I mean, he was getting downright mean,
What I liked about Scorpion in the 2 minutes we have left. What I loved about Scorpion is when the kid was dying because the rocks buried him in a rock slide.
Yes.
And he comes in, and Walter's sister is there, and he goes and saves this kid. And I, the aftermath of the show was not fun, because that's where Walter got all the credit and everybody else didn't. But it was an amazing show. We have about 60 seconds left.
Okay.
Any last words?
Oh, I do want to thank everybody for the questions. I really appreciate them. And, you know, like I said before, I have a couple of, I'm working on a couple of new stories. I have I'm working on some erotic fairy tales retellings that I'm going to self-publish to go with my other two fairy tales that I've already self-published, Trouble in Thigh-High Boots, which is Puss in Boots, and Climbing Her Tower, which is Rapunzel. So I'm going to have a collection of short stories coming out, hopefully by the end of the year. I'm still working on it.
Remember,
and
that's,
going to
be that's my Christmas gift this year, remember?
Yeah, I can. I'll get you the file. You can review it.
Nah, I've known you long enough. I love you. You know that, and I can say that your husband's right there. He knows I love you and how I love you. Ladies and gentlemen, the one of the talented authors I know, Elizabeth Black. Good night.
Well, thank you for having
fly
me
right.
on, Bennett. Good night. Good night,
my
everybody.
My pleasure. Good night.
Have a safe weekend.
Fly right. Be well. Good night.
Good night.